You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is being brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Voyage AC.
Hey, so I'm reading this from Harlow James.
Okay.
It says, Voyage AC Candles. This is a very well-known candle brand, but somewhat new to me. I had heard about their cult following for a while, so I decided it was time to finally test some out. The scents are incredible because they give off a lot without being too overpowering.
And that sounds like a rave review.
It is. And I think it's amazing that Voyage AC gets pressed like this, and yet this is no candle factory. Mm. Melanie Apple and her team hand pour every single candle. In fact, I spent a little time at their space not too long ago watching how the magic happens.
You did. I saw that video you posted on our Facebook group.
Yeah, it was an incredible day. And remember how good I smelled when I got home?
I do indeed.
Well, you'll want to check out all of Voyage AC's beautiful candles, phenomenal fragrances, and gorgeous face and body products. So, hun, how can our listeners find Voyage AC?
You can find everything on their website at www.voyageac.com. That's VoyageEtcie.com.
And as you know, Melanie is willing to give my friends and family discount to all our listeners right now.
What?
Yep, that's 10% off everything you buy.
That's right. All you need to do is enter the only one at checkout.
Right? All you have to do is enter the only one when you make your purchase. Voyage AC is the ultimate luxury blend of travel, design, and scents. Each original fragrance, every candle is handmade, 100% natural vegetable blend, and created by Melanie personally. Voyage AC is an olfactory journey of candles, perfume, and organic beauty products.
Jun Han, I'm just going to go right into it. Thank you for a fascinating journey. I don't know that I've really talked to anybody who's been deported and come back and grown up. I mean, basically in with two cultures as a part of who they are. And you have such a clear understanding of your journey. It's really, really cool to hear.
So let me do a quick plug on the plight of an undocumented immigrant. Right?
Yeah,
there's
please.
A reason you there's a reason you haven't met anyone, because if I'm an unskilled laborer, and I know there's jobs in the U.S. that are dying for someone like me, right? Mm. There just are jobs that we won't do, right? So I know if I can get to the United States in 1 week, I can feed my family for 3 months.
Right.
And right now there's no job prospects, but I have no skills. So if I want to go through the proper channels from Latin America to come to the United States, it's an 8-year waiting list.
Wow.
That's if I do the proper stuff, right? Now, if I get a coyote, I'm in debt to him for the first 2 years I'm in the United States. But after that, everything is free and clear to my family.
If you make it, by the way.
If you make it, right? And people can skim off the top, coming back, whatever. But if I can just get there. Now, if I get caught, just like with my family, there's a 10-year sanction put on you.
Wow.
Right. So now if I'm caught, if I want to do things legally, it's 18 years, man. 18 years for me to do the upright citizen thing for jobs that someone is begging me to do.
Right.
Right. I'm not breaking any laws.
I mean,
I'm breaking
the immigration law. This lends a little bit into the idea of why your mother and father operated the way they did. They were very savvy. staying one step in front of things. Even this was in the 80s, early 80s.
Yeah. Right. Yep. And you know, the cruelest thing though, Scott, is that we got deported. We got deported in, you know, the Thanksgiving, that Friday, mm-hmm. I believe. 6 months later, Ronald Reagan would do an amnesty for any undocumented immigrants that had been in the United States for at least 5 years.
Mm. Oh, wow. And,
we just needed to run from the law just like six more
just
months.
Just another
man.
6 months and you would have been.
It's so interesting when you think of like the what ifs. I know that my brother's mental health would be a lot different. Mm. Him having to survive in a majority culture was not good for him and still not good for him. He's not recovered, you know.
There were many times during the interview I was thinking of that movie, Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just the journey of the two brothers. Were they brothers?
Yeah, they were brothers.
Yeah. And I was thinking of you and your brother on that journey and how you have that special relationship and how one of them took the hit. And you seem so lighthearted and humorous. You find you would tell a particularly tragic thing and kind of laugh about it, like getting disciplined in school, 100 right.
Well,
whacks. And
you know what it is? It's like, listen, whatever cards I felt like I was dealt, mm-hmm. I know. And this is kind of why I volunteer a lot with like refugee families and poor immigrant families here in San Diego, is that, dude, if I think I had it bad, that's not it. I mean, I ended up coming back to the United States and like in the halls of power, like right. learning how shit works, right? There are people that will never unlock that for generations. And so that's why we try to mentor as many refugee families as possible. Like, listen, you guys need to learn how this stuff works. Mm. It's very different from a country. Like if you're a subsistence farmer from Uganda, think about this. Every time you keep your crops, the longer you keep them, the more they lose value. That's what subsistence farming is, right? Mm-hmm. You're trading stuff just to eat for that day. But then now you're in a country where we're asking you to save your paycheck because it grows even more valuable, right? That is almost impossible to teach someone in their 40s and 50s.
Right.
That concept, right? That there's a government that'll insure your money. There's no such thing like that in subsistence farming. And the trust with that kind of stuff. And but I'll tell you, I don't want to belabor too much. Like the difference my brother and I is I realized this early on in life, but it got accentuated in the whole deportation, you know, trauma. And, you know, we're kids at that point, right?
Yeah.
Was
really
that
10 and how old
right.
your brother at that point?
Yeah. He's only just a year older than me.
He's exactly
13 months older than me. Mm-hmm. So my brother somewhere down the line caught the notion that life owed him something. Whereas I learned that life doesn't owe you shit, right? And so I think my brother has always been a reactor, whereas I've been more proactive because I was like, listen, I got made fun of. I was overweight until I was like in high school. And I got made fun of all the time. Think about this. Overweight kid transferring to new schools every 3 to 6 months.
Man, you had to adapt
quickly, huh? Right. So one of my things, like I can't control who's going to make fun of me, but I can probably make people laugh. Cracking some jokes, right?
Right.
And then now you're like the jolly fat mm-hmm. kid instead of like just the, you know, and then people feel bad for picking on you because you're like kind of witty and
oh, such a nice
you know, that
guy.
Kind of stuff, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so,
yeah.
But I realized, especially when we got deported, I'm like, listen, no one's looking out for anybody here. We've got to figure this out. Mm. Like my brother and I, I'm like, dude, we've got to, we stop fighting. I was like, dude, we got to stop fighting. We've got to figure
this
out.
A team.
Yeah, and a little bit more. And so still now, you know, he's dealing with some issues here and there, but, you know, he's still around and, you know, my kids love him to death and we're still brothers, you know, after that's all right. this time. So,
you know, one other thing I think, just because many of the people in the world are looking at what's happening at our borders and you have a unique perspective to this. And I think it might be a fair question to ask your perspective on is how can people see compassionately into your parents' idea to send you guys away from them? To be here. Like, I know a lot of people in America, like, who would do that with their kids?
That's a great question.
Yeah. And I think you're obviously in hearing you talk about your journey, you can tell that you mended from this idea. You understand clearly what your journey was, but maybe you could help people understand a little better.
You know what it is, you guys, is the reason that's even a point of debate is people cannot believe the state of other places.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, listen, like San Diego, like if you're going to be homeless, San Diego is the place to be, man.
Right.
Like our year round weather is great. You know, screw Chicago or whatever. Like this is where you want to be. Right.
Right.
Like our pets get taken care of, but like we have a dog. I know we take care of better our dog than some people will live their whole entire lives in other places in the world.
I mean, I think that's pretty heavy
That lack of empathy that you cannot imagine something being so bad that you would either abandon your family, not abandon them, but you basically, I'm probably never going to see you again. If everything goes right, I'm never going to see you again.
I mean, it's the ultimate sacrifice as a parent.
Yeah. So people are like, oh, I can't imagine that. Oh, well, then you can't imagine the why.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The why is because I'm looking at my four kids, and if I stay here, we're going to all eat dirt and die.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to bury each one of my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or my choice is to be part of a cartel. Right. In Latin America.
Yep.
Right. So that's the most offensive thing. It's like, oh, these people are coming in. They're bad people. I'm like, no, they're actually trying not to do the bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. They're going to come and pick our strawberries. So I don't have to pay $5 a pound. I only have to pay 99 cents a pound. There's no way that stuff comes to us like spinach. I eat like pounds of spinach every day. That stuff would be so much more expensive if we had to pay full wage. And so here's always the hypocrisy I always point out, Scott. Someone's railing on me about undocumented immigrants and stuff, and it's usually someone in a very nice house, and they usually have someone taking care of their lawn.
Right.
Right. And I go, hey, how much do you pay to get your landscaping done? And they'll like say, you know, like maybe $175 a month. They come twice a month. I'm like, okay, so you know for a fact when you look out your window that those people are most likely undocumented, not the foreman. But everyone else doing
the hard work.
Right. It's most likely undocumented. And that's the only reason you're paying $175. If you want to sit on your moral high horse, which you can, I have no problem with moral high horses, right? If you want to sit on your moral high horse, then make sure you're willing to pay three times as much to have all like documented American citizens doing your lawn for you. But you're not going to do that, are you?
No.
Right. And so that's where it breaks down for me. Is like the humanity gets lost in understanding the situation people are coming from. Like, listen, if you had spent 1 minute there, Scott, you would say, yeah, let's get the hell out of here.
Right?
It makes sense. Do whatever you can to get out of here. Do whatever you can to get out of here.
But if you sit over here and try to imagine what it's like, it's very difficult to sort of understand that.
Well, what's the stat? It's like only like 30% of Americans have a passport, right?
Okay, yeah, we think traffic is a bad thing. We're like, oh, this is terrible.
But think about that, dude. Those are what they call champagne problems, right? Yep. Our first world problems. Yeah. I'm like, listen, if you don't have a passport, and here's the other thing. The people that do have passports, most of them are not willingly going to like developing countries, right?
You're using your passport.
Yeah. You're going to a good place to blow some money. So you, like even the statistic of like people have passports, that's misleading because most of us are not like, I'm so excited to get my son his passport so we can go down to Guatemala, you know, and see kids playing with raw sewage or even closer. My wife is Filipina. Like when I go to the Philippines, we're not going to specifically go to say, let's spend all of our time watching kids play in open sewage.
Mm-hmm.
Let's spend all of our vacation time there. No, we're going to an island where people are waiting on us, you know, like massages and like fresh fish. Like that's the hard part, right?
We're going to take just a quick break to tell you about a cool new product that Scott and I discovered. And we'll get back to our guest's amazing Only One story in just a minute.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. So wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Well, you know, what's interesting is the reason I initially thought that you would be a great interview is when you introduced Laura and spoke about what her talk was going to be about. You seemed to really get it. Like, you really seemed to know, understand what it was to be the only one. And your conversation, it really has both sides painted really well on it. And I just really appreciate that. I think it's difficult to explain to people sometimes. Some people say, I've never felt like the only one in the room. And I'm like, I don't understand how you did that. You know?
So here's the crazy thing. For a hot minute, I was a teaching pastor at a mega church up in LA, okay, up in Pasadena. And I remember at the time, I was like, I don't know if I want to work in a church. And this was why, because, you know, the church hour is the most segregated time in America. Mm, it's when everyone goes to their comfort zones, right? Mm-hmm. But I remember I was in a network of these like multi-ethnic churches, and the way they define multi-ethnic was that it was 80% one group and at least 20% other.
Other.
Right. Others. And I was like, listen, man, if you've ever been 20% of anything, you do not feel like that is multi-ethnic at all.
Right. Right.
Right. Like an 80-20 split is not multi-ethnic at all. Yeah. But even with that low, like the church stats, they came up that definition just to say, like, what is a multi-ethnic church? So they came up with a super low bar definition. And even with that, only like 6% of churches in America fit that definition, mm-hmm, of a 20-80 split, which is not multi-ethnic. Come on. That's not, like, America isn't 20-80. It's like 60-60 and then other, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, parts of America are 95-5, sure, you know, sure, or like 99-1 or whatever, you know, but America as a whole is like 60-40. So, wow,
that's interesting.
You know, so churches are more segregated. If our workplaces or schools were segregated like churches would, they would be illegal.
Well, they were. I think they were at one point. So yeah, we've come a little ways. I don't know how far, but it's voices like yours and experiences like yours that I think are helping our everyone understand everybody a little bit better in their stories. And I just really appreciate you coming out and letting us in on your journey, man. I think it'd be
so
a great
thankful
movie, actually.
It would be a great movie.
I'm so thankful to just let me like share this stuff. I mean, hopefully no one ever experiences the extremes, but I mean, the reality is like when someone says like, oh, like I can see both sides of things. I'm like, dude, I can see both sides of things.
You can.
Like I can see both sides.
Yeah. And understanding both sides and living both sides are completely different.
Yeah. I'm not like, the thing is like, you know, I remember I spoke at Harvard. It was the first time, you know, I'd ever stepped on campus. I was there as a keynote speaker. The guy
by the way.
Yeah, right. Pretty cool. Yeah. Pretty cool, right?
Sorry.
The very next day, it was a two-day conference. I was the opening keynote speaker, and it was, you know, huge honor and all this stuff. The next day, someone came up to me. He's part of a diversity inclusion like position in some like big corporation, right? And he kind of was very passive aggressive. He's like, yeah, I noticed some people yesterday. I was kind of shocked or taken aback that people are calling people white. You know, what about Caucasian and whatever? And I was like, dude, I said that. Like, I don't call anyone Caucasian unless I know I'm like specifically being recorded for academia.
Yeah, like, right. I'll just tell you, as a white guy, no, I appreciate it. I appreciate being called white.
No, so then I was like, so I just asked him, like, I'm like, hey, what's the downside of me calling you white? Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, it's the way you're saying it. I'm like, yeah, I got some tone issues, sure, right? But it's because I'm mad at you right now, right? Uh-huh. But I was like, what is actually the practical detriment to you for me to call you white? You know, and then I asked, I'm like, do you have any African American friends? And he's like, well, I got a couple of coworkers. I'm like, have you ever asked them what they want to be called?
Mm-hmm.
You know that every single black friend I've had growing up wants me to call them black.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they're not from Africa.
Right.
Right.
Well, like, and not only that, you know, but then how do you refer to Naomi Campbell?
Mm-hmm.
She's not American.
Right.
So you can't call her African.
Who's really African, right?
Right. Or she's really British, is what she is.
Right.
I learned that.
Yeah, Afro-Canadian or whatever.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like,
yeah,
I got that cleared up in this family. They really helped me with that.
Yes, you do.
I mean, it's said at the table, you know, like, and the other thing, you know, that I learned is that white people don't talk about race so much as, you know, because we don't have to.
Right.
Like,
well, yeah, that's the definition of, but you know, in Korea, they don't talk about it either. And in Korea, they treat their version of migrant workers are people from the Philippines and Vietnam, and they treat them like shit. So I'm not sitting here saying like one race is more noble than the other. Listen, if Koreans invented like tanks and warships and took over the world, they would also be racist.
Right.
Right.
Power does that to people.
It does.
Power is a magnifier of what's already there. Mm. Right. And so the thing with me is like, I love the Korean side of me. I love the white side of me. And my kids make fun of that all the time because we've grown up with very multi-ethnic stuff. I'll say something every now and then. Like last week I said like, yeah, that guy came to the conversation loaded for bear. And they're like, dude, that's some white people shit. What is that phrase? And I was like, what do you mean? Like loaded for bear, duh. And I'm trying to explain it to them. They're like, yeah, that's some white people shit. So they make fun of me on the regular because I'll break out some saying like as the crow flies. I thought everyone knew what that meant.
Right. Laura always asks, what does that mean?
And they're just like, what the hell does that mean?
Well, I mean, not like you don't know what it means, but where does it originate?
But yeah, where does it come from, right? Right. Like, I used the word, I said once, if I had my druthers, I'd do this. And they're like, what in the hell is that? What is a druther?
You should write a book called Things White People Say, by the way.
It's hilarious. And the brutal part is when I explain it to them, they're still like, no, that's still dumb.
Right.
Anyway,
I have to say, one of the things that makes me feel most comfortable is when you say dude. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah, I'm a
surfer,
I'm a beach kid,
and a white guy. Yeah. So that's our language. But thank you so much, June. And
thank you guys.
Yeah,
thank
I hope
you.
We get to do some more, man. That was a blast.
Absolutely. I'll come visit you guys soon.
Yeah.
Let's just hang out and eat or something.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds good.
All right, thanks, June. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you for listening to The Only One in the Room. Please join us each Tuesday and Sunday for an incredible brand new Only One interview. And every Friday for On My Nightstand, where I'll be reading something that I love. If you have an Only One story you'd like to share or a piece of writing you'd like to submit, please send it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com. From all of us at The Only One in the Room, we wish you dopeness, health, and prosperity.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.